Okay, Chevra, so last time we spoke about how Rabbeinu Yonah begins Sharei Tshuva by talking about the importance of doing tshuva, and part of his discussion about the importance of doing tshuva was the fact that tshuva is a special chesed that Hashem gave us, and therefore we should be happy about doing tshuva. Additionally, Rabbeinu Yonah commented that the delay in doing tshuva is really worse than the Aveira on some level. We have an opportunity to get out of our Aveiros. If we don't take that opportunity, so then we are like those Ganovim who have the hole that was dug out of the prison. They decide not to leave, so they're the ones who the warden really punishes. So Rabbeinu Yonah first gives this introduction, then he talks about, practically speaking, how do we go about doing tshuva. So ha'ikar harishon, this is letter yud, ha'ikar harishon is charata. Okay? You should be able to find it's letter yud in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Ha'ikar harishon is charata. Charata basically means feeling bad. For Rabbeinu Yonah, the beginning of tshuva, we'll discuss the details in a moment, is that you feel bad. Yavin levavo, ki rav amar ozvo es Hashem. Yavin Lavavo, the Bali Musar comment, means that there is intellectual understanding, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about over here, Yavin Lavavo, meaning that your heart should understand, in the sense of you gotta really feel bad. That's what Yavin Lavavo means. It's not enough to intellectually realize that I did something wrong, but you have to feel it. And what you feel is not even the onesh, it's not even the fact that you're going to be punished, but the first stage of feeling is Rav Amar Azro Es Hashem. Leaving the Ribbono Shel Olam is bad. Rav Amar, it's objectively bad, and it's bitter. In other words, the greatest joy possible is to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Leaving Hashem is consequently a bad thing. So the first thing that you recognize with charata is that you feel that I had this connection to Hashem, and I've built this wall, this barrier, that does not allow me to connect to Hashem anymore. V'yoshev el libo, ki yesh onesh v'nokom v'shilim al ha'avon. In other words, first you think about that just leaving Hashem is bad, and then you begin to think, oh my gosh, I'm going to really suffer. God takes revenge. This doesn't sound nice, no? The God of the Bali Musar, you know, pardon, doesn't really sound like the teddy bear, you know, who you hug and it's like, oh, sweet. No, li nakam v'shilim. Hashem will punish us. Guru lachem ipnechev ki chema avon eschavev. Be scared of it. V'yischaret amasov haraim v'yomer bilvavo me'osisi. Eich lo haya pachan ol kim l'neged einai. You're supposed to say, hey, I did all these bad things. How come I wasn't scared of Hashem? How come I was not scared about all the tochachos, the punishments I'd receive for the sins, and all the bad things that occurred? Ki rabim achovim l'rasha. Lo chamalti agufi, v'lo chosa eini alav mishichato, v'pnei hanos rega echad. I did not have rachmanus on my body. Rabbeinu Yonah is very frum. That's point one. And Rabbeinu Yonah basically is saying that all of the difficulties that a person has in life, when a person feels that, like, my body just ain't working as well as it should, well, that's really because of your aveiros. V'nim shalti le'ish she'yigzal v'yachmos v'yochal v'yisba v'yodea ki achrei ochla v'achrei shaso yagris ha'chotot ha'shofi b'chotot shinov. Let's say you steal and you eat a good meal. But after you eat the good meal, you're going to be punished for stealing the food. So basically, you should realize that although it felt good at the time, you're going to really suffer. I have this precious nefesh, and I was mean to that precious nefesh, and I made it tamei. Mahu ila b'chol kinyonehem ra'a be'enei adoneha. Mahu ila b'chol kinyonehem ra'a. What advantage do all of the attainments that someone, that he or she has, if that person is bad? The Balei Musar some of them go very extreme with this statement. They say that if a person has a lot of averos, those averos, to some extent, erase all of the maisim tovim, all of the mitzvos that the person can have. That's what the words sound like, no? Mahu ila b'chokinya. Now, what do all of your attainments achieve in ra'a b'ina adoneha if you're really bad? Now, many times, like in Svarim, you see expressions like, because of my averos, I'm unable to understand X, Y, and Z. Like the Prima Gadim, I point out to my guys in the Smicha here in Yeshiva, that the Prima Gadim always says an expression, Mipnei avonosai lo hevanti, something like that. And, you know, sometimes people think of those comments as being just anava, but there's probably truth to it, that attainments in Ruchnius are very difficult because of our averos. So this line probably does not mean that your mitzvos count for nothing because you have averos. But what it means is that because of your averos, your mitzvos don't attain as much as they could attain. Am I making this clear?
It's sort of like a natural consequence. As in, if you do avero, you've created a reality where, like, you're a person that has done avero.
But it's not that. It's more than that. Because I've done averos, I've created a reality that even the good things which I do don't help as much as they would otherwise help. Every mitzvah should bring me closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every mitzvah should give my neshama tremendous joy. I don't feel that because I have these averos that prevent my mitzvos from accomplishing what they could accomplish.
It sounds like almost like a counterbalancing, that before you get to a net gain, you have to first kind of
first to, get it's like sur me rava asay tov. First you got to get rid of those things, and then you, like Mishalom from football, probably, I don't know, but like when you're negative, if you have bad field position, so then it's really hard to gain ground when you are backed up to your own 1 yard line. Like, only once you've moved away from that, then it's easier to gain ground. That's sort of the mashal. So basically, the Rabbi Yonin continues, Ve'echech lafti ba'olam cholef olam omeid la'ad la'olam. How could I have exchanged for a temporary fleeting world the permanent world? I could have attained with mitzvos something that's permanent, everlasting, but because of this olam cholef, because I had these desires and I did an avera, so I exchanged permanence for these temporary things. Ech nimshati kabehemos ninmesi, v'halachti achre yitzri kisus kiferet ech ein havim v'ta'isi midar chaseichel. I strayed from logic. If a person would be thinking logically, the person would not do sins. But I became like an animal who is governed by instincts rather than logic. That's the way the Rabbeinu Yonah says it. Nimshauti ka behemos nidmesi. He has like a certain poetic ring to it, no? How did I become comparable to animals, and I followed my instinct like a horse who has no understanding? Habori nafach bapi nishmas chayim, chachmas lei, v'tov asecha, lahakiro ligirim ofanov, v'limsho baguf v'chot hodosav, kashem shilo shabalei chayim she'enam medabrim. Hashem gave us knowledge, and because of that knowledge, we are on a higher plane than all of the animals. V'acharei she'ba'avur zelz nivresi v'yihi bi hefech mizeh lo malichayim. Okay, I think what he's saying is actually interesting. We began this section by saying that we have like this balance between the emotion and the intellect. So the first stage of tshuva he begins with is that emotionally you have to feel like you really blew it. You totally messed up. Feel bad. I remember one time when I was in Barashas, like a kid turned on the light on Shabbos. He went over to Rabbi Woolley. He's like, what should I do? I turned on the lights. Rabbi Woolley's like, feel bad. And there is something to that. Like, what you do is you feel bad. So emotion, like, begins the process. But as you get more into the emotions, you begin to question, how come I allowed my emotions to overcome me rather than following my intellect? Human beings are sentient beings. That's what makes us special, no? Mosar Adam and Abahima Ayin, right? Ayin, according to the Ben Ishchai, stands for Amira, Yediya, and Neshama, right? Our ability to speak, our ability to really comprehend things, which all come from the Neshama. We should be sentient beings. We should be thinking. And if we're not thinking, Lama Lichayim, in a sense, we have squandered the life that we have. Kinging Shenema, Adam Tor Miderech Haskel, Bekaha Rifaim Yanuach. A person who strays from Seichel, Bekaha Rifaim Yanuach, will rest among the giants. The Rifaim, I think, are like at the end of Parshas Bereishis. Where is it? In Parshas Maaseh and in Parshas Bereishis, you have like the Nephilim Hayu Ba'aretz. Right? These are like these pre-human forms, right? Who are not, again, like you look at the skeletons of Neanderthal man and like the cranium is very small, no? They weren't fully sentient beings. A person who gives up on his or her intelligence and doesn't think things through, so such a person, b'kahal rifa'im yanuach. And not only that, I've even been worse than the animals. I'm worse than the animals, because Yadashar Konehu, Yishayahu Hanavi says that like the ox at least recognizes, understands who owns it, but I don't know the Rabbonu Shel Olam. I set myself free, I tasted the food, I stole, etc., and I was trampled, and I didn't remember that I'm going to die, and basically I should have charata, I should feel really bad for what I did. That is this section. Okay, so charata means I feel bad, and what I'm feeling bad for is that I didn't think. Right? That's that balance between the emotion and the intellect. Ikar Hasheni. We're going to have to pick up the speed, so I'm not going to read inside now. I'll only read a few lines. But the next thing is Azivas Hachet. Azivas Hachet means you decide not to do Averos. Ki Yazov Drachav Haraim V'yigmar B'chol Vavo Ki Lo Yosef Lo Shuv Baderech Hazaod. You make a decision, I will not do it anymore. If I did bad, I won't continue. Shuvu shuvu midarcheichem haraim, yazov rosh hadarko. The Rambam uses the term derech in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva as Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, don't think that tshuva only means that I shouldn't do averos, but tshuva means that I have to uncover the bad midos. That's the term that we would use. The Rambam doesn't like the word midos, but the bad character traits that I have that led to it. So, Aziva Sachet for the Rabbeinu Yonah is the same type of idea that I have to decide not to do it again. And that means probably uncovering whatever character flaws. Like, every individual has certain triggers in themselves that when you get to those triggers, like, you know, lizard brain comes out or whatever. You get to those triggers and you're not the same. You have to know what that is in order not to end up in the same place. Vida. Kimi asher chota al derech mikra ki his avotava vayech sakol av yitzov iskefehu. Rabbi Yonah basically says like this. Which one comes first? Does charata come first? Or aziva sachet come first? Which one comes first? So, over here he began with charata. And then he has aziva sachet, letter yur aleph. But says Rabbi Yonah, that sequence is only for a person who sins occasionally. Such a person will feel bad, and after feeling bad, after the charata, will make a decision, right, when the emotion recedes, and now you're back into the intellectual place that you should be. You make a decision, I'm not going to sin again. But that's only for the person who sins occasionally. The woman or man who sins on a regular basis, such a person needs azivas achet before harata. So for the Rabbeinu Yonah, the stira between azivas hachet first, or charata first, depends on whether you're a habitual sinner or you're an occasional sinner.
That sort of makes sense, because if it's something so part of your habit, it could take you a while to get the emotional thing, and you're still going to be doing all these sins. So.
And you're not going to feel bad about it. If it's part of your behavior, it's very hard to feel bad about something that I've been doing every single morning of my life. Right? So aziva sachet has to come first.
I need you to realize what brings you to do it. Because if you're always doing it, there's...
If you're always doing it, you don't even recognize that these things are triggers and these are like bad behaviors I have to eradicate somehow. Right. So Rabbeinu Yonah distinguishes between the habitual sinner and the occasional sinner. Rav Soloveitchik in the Al HaTshuva, I think it's page 82 and following, so the Rav noted that there's a stir in the Rambam about the same point. In chapter 1 of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam has charata before aziva sachet. In chapter 2, the Rambam has aziva sachet before charata. Now, the Rav says that the Rambam is giving us two templates for doing tshuva. He's not saying that depends whether I'm this type of sinner or that type of sinner. Rather, there's some people are more emotional, and some people are more cerebral. For the cerebral person, so aziva sachet comes first. For the emotional person, charata comes first. The Rav makes the famous comparison to there are two ways of getting rid of a neder. You know, Erev Rosh Hashanah, people do Hataras Nedarim. And Hataras Nedarim, we speak about there's charata and there's Pesach. Charata means that I feel bad that I made such a neder. That's emotional. I feel bad. I shouldn't have done it. Pesach is that the Bez Din says, had you known this bit of information, would you have made the neder? Pesach is the intellectual tshuva. Charata is the emotional tshuva. My understanding of the Rav and Al HaTshuva is not that one is preferred over the other, or that one is preferred in certain circumstances and the other is preferred in other times. Rather, there are two options of doing tshuva. Some people are more emotional, some people are more cerebral. They're different types of people, no? Whatever, some people like jump up and down, they get all excited. Torah, amazing!
They're going to say spit, what's it?
What right? Some people do that.
That's but wouldn't you
comment.
Think that, as in, you still should have both. One could be your car, but...
So, you probably should have both on some level, and it's probably not possible to do complete tshuva without both the emotional and the intellectual. The question is, which one do you start with? I mean, I have to admit, like, Shana Aleph in Israel, like, during Elul, as Yom Kippur is coming, I was really scared. I had, like, this... like, the davening in yeshiva was, like, really intense, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. This is, like, really bad. Like, and as I got older, like, the emotions, like, I don't know, maybe if I'd be more religious, this would not be true, but I'm not so scared of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming up. Like, I've been through this last year and the year before, and kind of, like, I know what to do. So, again, it could be it's like different stages in life. Sometimes when people are younger, they tend to be more, you know, they get more emotional about stuff, and as you get older, less. I think for the Rav, these are just different templates of tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah would say that, no, but you really have to make a decision that you're on the bad path if you've sinned regularly. Oh, Shavi, you have a comment?
Yeah, in a way. Like, you know how the Rav and Allah tshuva says that there's, like, two types of tshuva, or two steps. Like, first is just getting rid of the sin, and, like, is kapara, and then the next one
tahara?
Is tahara.
Yeah.
So, and he says that kapara can be achieved, like, even just if, like, the community is, like, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, davening for the klal, so really everyone can achieve kapara, but we may not all achieve tahara, but in that case, like, how scared should we really be? If we could, not that like we shouldn't be scared, we shouldn't like view it very seriously.
No, you're saying that, if we know we'll have some degree of atonement anyway.
Right. And not that we're going to be in a better spiritual state, because that doesn't mean you're a better person just because you have, like, you don't get the punishment, but you still have the stain of sin upon you.
So again, what I would say is that you only attain these things to the extent that you're mechuber to the klal. The possibility of having done such averos that exclude you from being part of the fabric of Klal Yisrael should be a frightening thought. Right? In other words, the Rav's whole approach of kapar and tahara, the difference between the tshuva for the yach and the tshuva for the tzibur, etc., lav dafka will everyone attain tshuva, as much as, you know, there are two different ways of going about this. There is the Hasidic, I'm so happy and everything is going to be great approach, and don't worry. And then there's the approach of, like, in Litvisha Yeshiva, is that you begin to, like, really sweat bullets. And I think they're both true. In other words, yeah, we know everyone will attain everyone, but maybe not, right? And there is room to really be scared.
No, yeah, right. No, I think we should be scared, but how scared should we be? Like, you know, in terms.
I think there's a difference when we're 18 and as we get old. I think, you know, the first time you really encounter tshuva, like for me it was in Shana Aleph. Maybe you guys like attained it like in high school at some point that you began to think seriously. I don't know, but the first year that you begin to think seriously, it's very frightening. And once you've been there, done that, like, okay. Again, maybe it lasts a little bit. As time goes on, like, I used to jot down notes every year before Yom Kippur about, like, what I was up to. So then I just, like, pulled them out of my desk. I'm like, wow, that was so long ago. You know, as time goes on, you begin to think differently. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. The Rabbeinu Yonah just, we'll have to go for one more minute. Rabbeinu Yonah gives the mashal of a person who's the habitual sinner. So if the person who's the habitual sinner does not first engage in azivas hachet, the person does not first decide that I'm not going to do it again, so such a person will be tovel v'sharetz biyado. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah does not say that the occasional sinner is tovel v'sharetz biyado. And I think the idea over here is as follows, that if I'm a habitual sinner, so I'm really holding that sheretz, it becomes it's in my hand. If I'm an occasional sinner, so it's ki'ilu, I touched the sheretz, I became tameh, but I'm not holding it. Right? Once the sheretz is something that's in my hand, then I need the azivas hachit to throw it away. There's also the famous chakira, just to think about it, how come if you go to the mikvah holding a sheretz, you don't become tameh? Is it that you don't become tameh, or is that you become... Is that you don't become tahar? Is that you become tahar, but the sheretz is metame you again? Right? It's like, you could do lumdus in anything. But the point in this chakira, I think, is that Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying that tahara doesn't work without aziva sachet. It's not like you become tummy again. It's that... Whatever, again, and the Rav in Al-Hatshuva speaks about, you know, the tshuva as being like the mikveh as opposed to the tshuva of the eish, etc. Kol zman that you're holding the sheretz, so tahara doesn't set in at all. In other words, it's not like you've been there and then you went back. There was no tahara at all. Again, there's much more to be said, but od chazon l'moed. Okay, Chevra, have a good night.
Thank you.